Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, L.A.T. Yes, I think my husband wants me to preach submission part two, just so I don't talk about husbands, yeah? It's good to see all of us here today. Yes, Mr. Agaba Alfred, you're very welcome to Last Adam Tabernacle. Yes, please give him a hand clap. Okay, you can stand for people to see you. We love first-time visitors. I think someone at the back right there next to Daphne. Please stand up and let everybody see you. Again, a first-time visitor. We love you very much. Anyone else joining us for the first time, a returning visitor, just want to make sure that everyone is covered this morning before I go on. All right. So I thank God so much for this Sunday morning. Amen. Yes. Robin, thank you for submitting to your husband and listening to his counsel to prepare for the song. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Let us clap for the worship team once again. That was great. That was great. Oh, there is another young lady here. Is it your first time to come? No, it's not. Eh? Ah, okay, good. Yes, so it's good to see us in the house of the Lord this morning. Sam, thank you for leading the service. Yeah, so last week we talked about marital submission. Marital submission. Are you blessed? Yes, you are blessed. For those that listened, for those that attended in person, I thank you for coming, and I thank you for coming to me after the service and asking me several questions, yeah? People came and they were like, but Joanne, now this submission thing that you're talking about, well, like I said, it's not a popular thing. When you talk about submission in our day and age, with our modern culture, with whatever is happening, marital submission is not something that is embraced as it used to be back in the day. That's what we talked about last Sunday. We also talked about what it actually is, what it's not. And then we said that submission is first and foremost a divine calling. We're talking about, remember, marital submission. So we looked at it as a divine calling of the wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership. Of course, according to the grace and her giftings that God has given her, all right? And then we say that God can never ask us wives to do something that is detrimental to us. God cannot ask his children to do something that is bad. You know, don't complicate this submission thing. If God tells you to do it, know that it is good. Whether it is easy for you or not, that is a detail, okay? But God cannot ask you to do something that is not good. So that is why I also said last week that I feel like the future of our marriages, as we go on towards the coming back of the Lord, will depend on what we preachers tell the congregation on these pulpits. Why? Because when you see out there, I can give you, honestly, even when I was doing my research about submission, then it was very, very difficult to find something that is authentic as I knew it, you know, the old-time submission. I feel like the information that is even put on the internet, some of those things have been tweaked to say, but you can submit but halfway, you know? You can submit but within this context, yeah? Why? Because a lot has changed in the world. And so people fear to go out there and write the truth as it is in the Bible, yeah? And that is why sometimes I'm like, maybe people who speak Luganda should write some of these things on the internet more often. Ogondera ngomwami, that one has more, I feel like it has more, it carries more weight, yeah? Okugonda is submission, yeah? It carries more weight than what has coming across on the internet, yeah? And then we went back to where did it all start? And where did things go wrong? In the Garden of Eden. we remember that God first and foremost created man, put him in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1:25, and gave him an instruction to keep and tend the garden. Sometime later, Eve comes onto the scene, and she is, before Eve is created, God said, "Let us create a helper." Glory to God. And now, Eve comes onto the scene, she comes as a helper of Adam. Doesn't take his authority, doesn't take his mandate. And as time goes on, they sin. They fall into sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, God comes looking for his people, his two people. He comes and he asks who? Adam. Adam, where are you? You know, he knew what they had done, but he came looking for the person he had given leadership in the Garden of Eden. He came and looked for the boss. Okay, where is this person here? Where is Adam? God already knew what had happened, but he looked for Adam, the one to whom he had entrusted everything he had created, including Eve. Glory to God. And then, you know what happened, and now God takes them through the consequences of their sin. When I was going back home last Sunday, I asked my people in the car. I'm like, so did you people understand this thing I taught about the sin and you know, do you understand Genesis 3:16 and Genesis 4:7? And I was surprised that, first of all, my son Kwezi said, "No, I didn't understand it." Okay, that was a pass. Then my husband, I'm like, "My husband, did you understand?" He tells me, a bit. And I was so discouraged, you people. Eh? But then as well, before we reached home, I remembered what happened in the service. That as I was speaking that, I remember I asked people, "Have you understood?" And there was a no that came from around the worship team there. Yeah, and worship team. So even the back, even people at the back. So I felt so bad. I went to God. I'm like, how can people not understand? Like, I really felt so bad. And I'm like, God, give me another chance to do this again. So I'm here. I'm going to do it again. Glory to God. I'm going to explain it to you, but I'm not going to understand it for you. So let us pay attention together. Amen. I can only teach. Hallelujah. So Genesis 3:16. This is where now the problem started. After God, remember God had set ahead a leader in the Garden of Eden, then a helper, all right? So now things of course, backfired after Adam and Eve sinned. So here, Genesis 3:16, God is telling the woman the consequences of the actions. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Okay? So, first of all, this is a consequence. It's talking about consequences of sin. Now, we just go back to, "I will multiply." There are three things. There are some things I'm seeing here. "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." That is one consequence. Number two, "In pain you shall bring forth children." That is number two. "Your desire shall be for your husband." That is number three. So I asked my husband, okay, that, "So what do you think it meant that your desire shall be for your husband? Wasn't there any desire before?" Because remember, we're talking about consequence of something, of what they had done. So this means that this desire must be something negative. As the other ones, because they're giving us a precedent. We understand. Are we understanding? You're not understanding. Alan, lay some hands. Now I need cooperation. This is a consequence. Negative consequence of what happened when they ate the fruit, okay? "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." All right? That is one. Number two, "In pain you shall bring forth children." Number three, "Your desire shall be for your husband." If your desire shall be for your husband, does that mean that it wasn't there before? Remember, they were living in marital bliss before. So what does this mean that the desire... No, when I asked my husband, he said, maybe it meant that desire would be much, 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 much. But you're going to chase him. I gave permission, really. But you see, he's the head. Now what do we do? Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So the desire was already there. And the desire, first of all, before they felt, Eve desired her husband. And much, 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 much. It was in purity. It was perfect desire. All right? Now when it comes here and it is shown as a consequence, you should wonder, you should ask yourself now, what does that now again mean? That now the desire shall be for your husband. Now to understand, we say let us borrow from Genesis 4:7. Here, after Cain had sinned and killed, this was before Cain sinned and killed his brother. So God tells him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Okay? So we use this part of its desire shall be for you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Its desire shall... Sin wants to take over you. That's what it means, all right? The desire of sin is to take over you and rule you. So now I said, let's pick from that and then we put it in Genesis 3:16. And now you realize that when the Bible says that your desire shall be for your husband, that means that desire, first and foremost, is not positive desire. It is a desire to take over, a desire to dominate, a desire to control, a desire to subvert. Do we understand now? Are we understanding now? Sam, have you understood? So as it was for sin that was desiring to control Cain, it is the same thing. Please put back Genesis 3:16. So I could as well say that to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. And you will want to subdue. You will want to control. You will want to subvert your husband. You will want to take over his authority. But just like God told Cain in 4:7, he told him, you shall rule over that sin. And now he tells the man, you shall rule over her. Glory to God. But he shall rule over you. Do we understand now? So you realize that submission doesn't come easy. But even in the fallenness, even after the fall had happened, God still intended that the order of things remains. Glory to God. Amen. So that first and foremost debunks the whole theory that when you submit to a perfect husband. No, you're simply submitting to a son of Adam who sinned. Okay, as it was then, glory to God. So submission is not given to perfect people. Quit asking marriage to be things it has never been meant to be. Happiness, perfection. Well, no, remember now we are dealing with a fallen experience, yeah? But thank God that through Jesus Christ, some of these things were redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I hope we have understood that now that is where the problems of submission started. And when I ended, I said, let us desire that we don't control our husbands. You desire that you don't, like whatever and whatever things that you do, because many people kept on coming and saying, but now supposing he does this, now supposing he does this. I know that there are several contexts, and some of these things depend on context. However, when you're preaching, you are not counseling. This is not a counseling session. I am giving you the principles of God's word. And now when you want counseling, please, contact me. Hallelujah. And your pastor, yeah? And his wife, and Dr. Dennis Mujimba, and the wife, and Sam, and other people here. and Esther and Rachel, Wamai. You can contact all those people, yeah? So we understand that now that is where problems started. So submitting, first of all, when you're not even born again, it's difficult. Now when you're born again, you have to conform to what God has called you to do. That you do not desire to do this thing here. Yeah? That you will not desire to control, to subvert, to take over your husband's authority. That was last week. So today we shall talk about leadership in marriage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, we're going to talk about the people that we have been called to submit to. Amen. First of all, we want to thank you so much. You know, before you talk about such topics, you want the men to pay attention. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all men in this place. Do I have your attention now? Hallelujah. Yes, so the most cardinal role that God, as we have seen in Genesis, that God gave men in marriage is leadership, is to be heads of their wives. Amen? And God's design for marriage in that sense transcends modern culture. God knew that the LGBTQ will be there, extreme feminism will be there, all these things, like God knew all these things would be there, but he said, the first, even if you have fallen, in the Garden of Eden at that time, even when those things are there, keep the order. Now, for us who are Christians, you must keep that order. Let us look at 1 Corinthians 11, 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. Here it tells us, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. We see again they're telling us that husbands, this is in the context of husbands, yeah? So don't go there saying you're someone's husband. No, John, you're telling us that here you're the head of every woman in the church. Please, this scripture, when you read all of it, it's in the context of marriage, all right? So you can't come and say, for me, I'm the head. Nzaba kuida mwena mwena bakazi wanwa. No, the head of what? Of the head of every, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we see that the leadership here is inadvertently telling us that it is passed on, it follows that order. That the head of the man is Christ, and then the head of the man is Christ, then the head of the woman is the man. Okay? Very simple things, but very unpopular in this century. Okay, yet very, very clear. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 21 to 24. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Take me back to 23. When you look at these verses, what really stands out for me is in talking about the husband in regards to headship. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. God does not leave, the scripture doesn't leave it open, because he knows that as human beings, we are fallen and we can easily manipulate the scripture to mean other things. But very quickly, he says, husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church. So this does not, we are not talking about secular leadership or headship like a CEO or an MD, because now that is different. I once had a couple whose husband wanted to be treated the same way he is treated at work. He wanted to be treated. He wanted to be treated, no. I'm built, and now you see, this is where you need this sermon. So he wanted to be treated the same way he was, say, maybe a CEO, and he wanted to be treated the same way as a CEO at home, okay? Not knowing that those domains are different. What I saw in that was respect him as you would at work. But when you are at home, yeah, he is not the CEO at home. He is your husband. He is the head. And in that sense, it is Christian leadership, Christ-like leadership, not secular leadership. Okay? So for me, he would wake up, you know, like how a secretary comes, runs and takes him the tea, puts it there, then what? He expected the wife who had a baby to also jump out of bed, run with a cup, put it there. He wants, as in, even before he asks, you know, things that CEOs do, praise the Lord, CEOs who are here. And you know, the man is running with porridge. It had to be porridge. The man is running with porridge. And then when he was sitting in the car, he wouldn't want to receive the porridge. He would want it to be put, yeah, there in the co-drivers, whatever. And you guys are laughing, but these are born agains. Like I told you the last time, that I spend most of my time talking to people who are born again. All right? So let's go to 1 Timothy 3. Again, talking about leadership. In the sense, if a man does not know how to rule his own household, how will he take care of the church? In regards to being deacons, ruling your own households, your children are everywhere. What here Paul tells us, he's telling Timothy, eh, that man, this is the criteria. Before you bring a leader to pray for us here, make sure you get guys who have a hold over their households. Glory to God. Amen. And so he tells him, man, how, if he cannot take care of his home, where he is free, where there are no, you don't have 100 people at home, you have you, yourself, and your children, how will you then come and take care of the entire church? All right? So again, we see the husband being the head of the home, but not like a secular CEO. Glory to God. Yes. So, just a word to the men. You know, God loves his daughters. All right? The same way you love your daughters. Bruce, Peniel, think about your daughter and how much you love your daughter. If you're here and you have daughters or a daughter, and how much you love your daughter. Now, let me tell you, that is how God loves these wives of yours. Because they are God's daughters, he loves them. No man, no father, in his right senses, will give away his daughter to a deadbeat guy. No. There are even fathers who say, "Gwena kulebe to komo wa no pale pale." I know. Eh? When we were younger, growing, my father would see the boys coming, but you would really see the chimango, eh? The chimango with which you would, you know, look. I know that some fathers here even have high walls, dogs, what, yeah? Anything concerning their daughters. They are very quick. Yabadechi, what has happened? Which person is that? I think 2 weeks ago, we had someone coming and testifying here about their father. I think that was Teddy, people who were in that prayer meeting. And she said that she had this challenge at campus. She didn't know what to do. Her name had been scraped off the graduation list, so she was so confused. Her father works at the university, so she gets up, didn't know what to do. She just went. Her father was in a meeting. She stood at the door, and she started crying. Yeah? You know what the father did? He ended the meeting. She just stood at the door and started crying. Yeah? This is someone in our worship team. I'm not talking about a young girl, all right? We're talking about someone who leads us in praise and worship, very, very powerful, tongue speaking. She stood at the door and she started crying while looking at her dad. The dad said, "Okay, meeting has ended, everyone dispersed," then went to attend to the what? To the daughter. That is a father's love. Glory to God. Amen. I know men here, some of you have done crazy things for your daughters, you won't even dare say them. You even do them behind your wives, but you're like, this one, let me just do it for my daughter. Let my other wife doesn't find out, but can't you kukolele? God loves his daughters. And he entrusts you men to take care of his daughters. The way you would entrust someone else to take care of your own daughter. When we are in some cultures, when they are getting married, they even say that the father is the one who marries on behalf of the son. I remember when on my, I think it was the introduction, Kuhinjira, I think, when I was being given away, they didn't, of course, now Sam's people were the other side, ours were here, were all crying, and then an uncle came, got my hand. I thought he would plant it in Sam's hand. No, you know what he did? He took my hand and put it in Sam's father's hand. Symbolic of the fact that I'm giving you, I'm trusting my daughter with you, the bigger one. Yeah? With you, the older one. All right? And in also, in that case, if Sam does anything to me, I should feel free to go to the person who I was given to. Okay? To report. But we don't report like that. But essentially, that is where it's coming from. Glory to God. But let me tell you, daughters of God here, when things become tight, you report them. Hallelujah. Yes, because sometimes things are so difficult. So anyway, leadership in a home doesn't mean your Lord, your L-O-R-D. Yeah? No. But the Bible says, Ephesians 5:21, both of you submitting to who? The Lord. So being the head doesn't mean that you are the Lord. You're the Lord, the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord, Kamalabiona. No. You're exercising authority on behalf of God. Amen? But you're not the Lord. That is why the Bible tells wives, submit, I think Colossians 3:18, submit to your husbands as fitting in the what? In the Lord, L-O-R-D. All right? If your husband tells you to do something that is not godly, yes, there. If your husband tells you to do something that is not godly, please do not do it. Don't even go to God and tell him, yeah, I was obeying my husband. No. Pray for wisdom, but do not sin against God in trying to please your husband. That is a simple answer. All right? But I know even as I say that, there are many different things and contexts and what, but this still remains. That even if you come to me and you say, but you see, my husband told me to do this and this. Should I submit? Shouldn't I submit? The very first thing I will do is diagnose your problem in line with this scripture. Is it unto the Lord? Are you submitting unto the Lord? So that is where we start from. But let us see what Christ-like leadership looks like, because Christ is the head of the husband. Matthew 20:26-28. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So in this sense, we realize that this leadership is servant leadership. Glory to God. It is servant leadership. So if that is why you should not load men, don't load it over the women. Me, I'm the head. First, look at what Jesus did. Did Jesus say that? Jesus was definitely stern in the way he led, in his demonstrating his leadership. He was very clear, stern, but he did not load it over the fact that I am God, I am the Messiah, but man, me. What he didn't load it over his disciples. So this should inspire husbands. If you feel like, no, you're not tangoni, there's someone who says, but the church is also very difficult. The church doesn't submit. I wish you knew the church I'm handling. No. No. I wish you knew the church I'm handling. No. Okay? So that I'm giving you the biblical principles. You as a man, look at yourself and wonder, am I sacrificial? Am I being Is my leadership sacrificial? All right? Am I taking the place of a servant? And it takes a lot, by the way, to do those things. That's why you should pray for your husband. So I looked at what does this godly, Christ-like leadership look like in our day-to-day at home, in our marriages? First of all, as a leader in a home, you are called to be proactive. Glory to God, men. You are called to be proactive. You're supposed to step out and initiate. Some of us here, some men, you hear the last time they ever initiated anything was when they were asking for the girl's hand in marriage, when they were proposing. After proposing, the guy just takes everything, yeah? He just takes the back seat, and the woman is the one who does all those things. Then there are these men who keep having so many business ideas, and they want the woman to go out, work, come, and you know, men can really sweet talk women. Kati tuja kola wetu ti enkoko 500 chicks, 5,000 chicks, e chumba che enkoko, what. Then, you know, whatever we get from there, we put in piggery, because in piggery, brand, manya, what? And then you ask the guy, where is the money coming from? Auntie, now you work, what? And then you find the woman breaking her back because the husband has told her to give him money to whatever his business, what? You know, dreaming, praise the Lord for us who dream. Dreaming never pays bills. Working pays bills. Glory to God. So men should work. Men should be proactive at work, all right? When Adam and Eve sinned, God asked them, he expected Adam there. He asked, where are you? He didn't ask. He came to Adam. He's like, where are you? Yeah? What has happened here? So even for the things that are going on in our homes, God asks, where are you? What is going on here? What is going on? I had an opportunity of attending a meeting sometime like 2 weeks ago. And we're in this apparent meeting where so many parents and we were tackling an issue. But what amazed me was now this couple, we had a child who were trying to help, and now the proprietor of the school was there and was asking this family questions. So what about this and this and this? All of us parents were there and were listening. But let me tell you, yeah, the father was on top of his game. Every question they were asking about the child, the father was answering. Now that one is like this. That is like this. But then they ask now, who spends more time with the child? The mother. But the father was updated. He knew that he knew everything. So, he, and that is what God calls men to do, to lead. Glory be to God. To be proactive. Amen? So, this guy answered all these questions, and man, everyone in the room was quiet. You know, as women, we talk. Wives, we talk. Yeah, but in many ways, I was happy that it was a gentleman who was talking, because if it was me, I would have maybe taken them around circles, given that story, became so long, yet, you know, we had to leave at midday, but this guy was, okay, now for that issue, this is what happened. For that issue, this is, you know, he was really proactive, amen? And when you do some of these things, your sons are watching. Our sons are watching. Amen. Our sons are watching and they are seeing. Go tell it your caller at home. Everything you're served. Everything. You can't even pick after yourself. Guess what? That is what? The kind of son you're modeling. You remove your shoes. There are these things. Children, now people have come back home. Come and untie my socks. The children, my shoes, the children come. So they untie. The guy just gets out like they are gumboots. Then he leaves them there. Then they take them away. They keep them. He sits. And then they tell you glass, yeah? Glass yamazi, someone. You can't even, and I'm not saying it's bad to do those things, but you should also show sometimes, model it to your children, that, you know, I can actually remove my shoes. I can pick up after myself, okay? And you see, No, me, I know what I'm talking about. Pastor Isaiah saying, but you're playing. Why are men defensive? Why are men defensive that they are playing? We are the ones who married them, so we know. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah? So, 1 Timothy 5:8 about work. If a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. This is what the Bible says. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. Okay? This has nothing to do with how much you're earning. Or by your job is small. What you should be proactive. Even in the little that God has given. Your wife may be earning 10 times what you earn. But be faithful at your workplace. So that you come and you have something to give. Glory to God. Find a way of providing for your families. Otherwise, you leave the women to do these things, their backs will break. And let me tell you, no woman wants to be the only one providing for their home. Yet men can do that, by the way, very seamlessly. Okay? So you're worse than an infidel if you do not provide for your household. Proverbs 14:23. There is profit in every work. This goes to show, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. You're saying that job doesn't match you, it doesn't have your vibe, you don't feel it, or it doesn't what? In every work, yeah? In every labor, there is profit. But now, if you kunyoma a job, you look down on a job, guess what you're going to end up doing? Idle chatter. Let me tell you, that is idle chatter. Yeah? That is idle chatter. Glory to God. Me, I'm going to stand here. How many? Five. Did you record the match? Yeah, but five. Godless. Idle chatter. Just. And guess what? It even leads to poverty. Why? Because you're talking about Tuamuguze, we bought that player. Do you know how much? Do you know how much we bought that player? Men! We bought the player. You know, that is, honestly, eh? Then you look at these two people. You're like, oh no, they didn't even have a single bond. But aliyawo, eh? No car investment, nothing, not even chicken. Eh? Tuaguze, by the way. So, please, avoid just endless chatter, because those idle chatter, which leads to what? Which leads to poverty. Do not look down on jobs. Men, don't look down on the jobs you have. Otherwise, there is that guy at the corner waiting for you, eh? To just end up in, ate, semujunganda said this, ate, wamulabye, oba what, bamukute, bamujekinze, from the airport. All those things, they are not bad, by the way. But if you don't work, eh? if you look down on your work, you're going to spend the whole day talking about what semujunganda said, about what. Anyway, that's enough of that. As a leader, number two, as a leader, you expected to pursue God. You have to be a follower of God because your model is Christ, not what so-and-so is doing in their home, okay? Not what so-and-so said. Nze for me, omukazi wange, my wife, she datande takulugezigezi, you know? That is somehow they even say, banyankole men, praise the Lord, yeah? Nyowe, you know how they talk. Or just because no, leave those things alone, because you can pick that and then take it into your marriage, saying, now for me, I put her under lock and key. She's not disturbing me anymore. Those WhatsApp groups you belong to, you read. You, as a man, you're supposed to be a follower. Your manual is the Bible, glory to God, and your example is Jesus Christ. And I hope that the people that you hold in high regard concerning marriage, they're actually exemplifying Christ in their marriages. It's okay to be inspired, but if you just get what you hear someone else doing in their home and it's working for them, and you bring it to your home, you are going to be very, very shocked that, you know, it will just be like what is happening between Hamas and what? In Gaza and you know where. So you have to, please, men, make our work easy. We want to submit. We don't want our desire to be for what? For you. We want to submit, but also you, please follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easier that way. We have already showed you, women have showed, Bambi, statistics even say in church that women are usually more than men in church. You can see that by the even statistics, no, that women, we really try on this thing of submission. Glory to God. Yes, we are there in church submitting to Jesus. But now also make it easy by trying to be like what? Like Jesus. Amen. In your leadership, glory to God. Alan, don't laugh. We are really, really trying. Just make it easy. But even if you don't follow Jesus, for us we shall still what? Submit, because that's what the Bible tells us. And then as a leader, you are a pastor in your own home. You are a priest in that home. And you can do small things. Do children see you reading your Bible? Do you lead in that before they go to bed? Do you call them and you pray together? As in model, those as you're the pastor before, if anything happens, before you call your pastor at midnight, and he will not pick, let me tell you, because he's also pastoring in his church at home. Yeah? Before you call the pastor and say, "Banange, my wife has done this and this and this," first be the pastor. First cast out some demons. Yeah? If there are demons that are disturbing you at night, first cast them out. All right? Before you are the pastor for the children. You are the pastor for your wife. Yeah? Lead them. There are some people here, they see you more with the remote in their hand than the Bible. Car keys in their hand, golf clubs in their hand, gazetulaba, sweet ozisao, zen ozisao. We've never seen you holding the Bible like that. Then Sunday comes and you're asking the children, "Do you guys feel like going to church today?" You're the pastor of that home. You're the pastor of that home. Sunday comes and you're sauntering out. It's okay for your children and the wife to be late. No. Then you come, you're the one driving. You're the pastor in that home. That is your pulpit. They are seeing you every day. You want your children to respect you. You have to model a good pastor. So that when you're telling them to live a life of righteousness, they're already seeing it. Because you're leading them in the life of righteousness. You're modeling that. Glory to God. You're not one thing on Monday and another thing on Friday. Yeah? So you are the pastor in that home. So each one of you here, every man here who is married, muinama kanisa gamwe, and I sure hope to God they are not shrines out there in your homes. Yeah? I hope to God that they are not shrines, that you are actually teaching your children, modeling for your wives a life of righteousness. Glory to God. Amen. So, men, you've heard that. When your children are being attacked, remember you are their pastor. All right? Don't say, "Mchala, mchala, where?" Please. First deal. There are those things that I keep telling Sam. I deal with at home. But, and the kids tell me, "Mommy, don't tell daddy, what? I'm like, "In this church, how can I not tell the leader?" But then I say, "I'm not going to tell him." The moment he arrives at home, I'm like, "CNN, ha, let me tell you what happened when you were away." In our bedroom there, I start telling him, "No, this one did this," and I report them. So even now, my son is there, he's hearing me. I report you. Why? Because I'm mandated to let the pastor know whatever has happened in his church when he was away. So I said, "This and this and this, this and this, please. Pastor, now you think, how are we going to handle? Pastor, how do you think we are going to handle this matter? What?" So sometimes the pastor said, "I delegate that to you, see what you can do, and you report to me," and I also exercise authority. All right? Yeah, delegated authority. When things become tough, I say, "But your children... yeah, your children, now you handle them," okay? And number four, a leader is a protector. Hallelujah. A leader is a protector. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I spent some good time just thinking about this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Why does it say as to the weaker vessel? You know, going back to English, weak, weaker, weakest. All right? So, if it is weak, it doesn't say as the weak vessel, but it says as the weaker vessel. What does that make the man? Exactly. So, soak it out. Glory to God. Why? Because, nobody, this is a very serious point. I don't say you didn't understand. Because together you are heirs of grace. In that sense, yes. Okay? That means that, yes, the man is also what? Weak. But the woman is weaker. That is the first explanation. But the second explanation is also in terms of the physique. There are things that a man is able to exert his physical strength on that a woman cannot. And I know that right now things have changed. As women, you go to the gym and you lift weights. And when they see you and their husband, they are just praying for mercy. They say, "Hey," but still, they say, "Hey," but also women, let me tell you, don't be there. The husband is there seated. You're carrying everything, your box, you're there. You call him and say, "Honey, I need help here. I cannot manage it." But when he's not there, bam, you carry the thing, yeah? But when he is there, because he has the physical strength, call him. But also, you men, be discerning. Glory to God, Brian. You see the lady shares, come back, the box is big. Don't just also you be sit there. No, also help, yeah? Help and carry. So in that sense is, it doesn't mean that women are weaker mentally. No. It doesn't mean that men are weak mentally, but it just shows you could give it those two explanations, that one, the physical exertion of your body, that actually men are more resilient when it comes to some stuff. Okay? They have strength. And God didn't give this man strength to abuse, to threaten, to prance around. Man, I remember when we were young, as is most of us here, man, your father would come through the door like this, and you would take... How many of you went through that? Like, when your father enters the door, you're like... because there's just a way in which his presence... If you're seated in his chair, you have to get out and you pray that he finds it cold. Because you are seated there, you've warmed it. You say, "Hani abide muntebe yange? Who has been seated here?" No, you know? So God didn't give men this strength to beat, to control, to dominate, to prance around, yeah? The one, John Cena, that guy who was a wrestler. Yeah, I don't know if he still is. You're the John Cena, Johnny Bravo. At home, you're the Johnny Bravo at home. No, okay? You are given this physical strength to actually protect your wives. Wives are very fragile. Women are fragile, yeah? And sometimes, if not most times, even if she doesn't show, she needs your help. Glory to God. You know, it's amazing that sometimes... Like, a woman can, like, as even just looking at my life, I can have a headache, yeah? But I will do so many things, even with my headache in there, yeah? I'll do so many things, do this, do that. And then later in the evening, I tell Sam, I really feel I have a headache. And he's like, "You had a headache and you were doing all those things." Man, yeah? Then at the time I told him, he's like, "You didn't even seem like you needed help." But you see, and I told him, but I will tell him, but also, you saw it should be obvious that, Bambi, I need help in this area, okay? But men can compartmentalize things. They see what they want to see. They hear what they want to hear. They will do what they want to do. But those are not the men I'm talking to this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Please, the reason I'm here is because I'm on Mama's side. That is not what Mama meant when she said, "Men, just leave him to do whatever he wants." No, I'm here to correct all those stupid memes, all those videos you guys did. That is not what she meant. Yeah, that is not what she meant. Because at one point I said, "This one is someone's father." Yeah. this is a parent doing this. Imagine Sam doing, like coming out on a video. And we see a man doing something so fake. Yeah? I'm here to correct that on this pulpit. Hallelujah. Tetunabavako. We shall tell you to do what you're supposed to do. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, importantly, that your prayers may not be hindered. Glory to God. The Lord loves his daughters. And if you ignore her, if you torment your wife, if she feels a certain way, and you're doing those things even intentionally, she has told you those things many times, don't be surprised when you don't get answers to your prayers. This is not my teaching. It's the scripture saying. In fact, at one point, I was like, hey, God, this is a bit harsh, yeah, for the men. But that is the standard, all right? Do not, if you ignore your wife on her needs, God is going to ignore your needs. It's as simple as that, all right? So, please, men here, husbands here, you know that one of the things that can hinder your prayers is you don't treat her with understanding. Don't give honor to her, disrespect her. You dwell with her without understanding her, thinking she is still the bride after 16 years. You think she is still the Joan you married, yeah? Without understanding, I've upgraded, you're still in windows about what? Let me tell you, yeah? If you don't treat me, Joan, as the weaker vessel, and you, knowing that together we are heirs of grace, your prayers will be what? Hindered. For women here, put there your name. I've just put mine and prayed for my husband, okay? I hope you also pray for yours. So what are some of the practical ways of how do we lead? How can a man lead to make sure that, first of all, his prayers are not hindered? Let's start from there. One, Ephesians 5:28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Glory to God. There is no man here, yeah? For us who go to the gym, Mumbalaba, men love their bodies. Yeah? Men love their bodies. They like to look good. Nobody, yeah, hates their body. So here God is telling them, husbands ought to love their own wives. Here again, there is an article, the word own, not another person's wife, but your own wife as your own body. And if you love your wife, you love yourself. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? So next time your husband, you feel like your husband is not loving you, Mubuza, but do you feel like you're loving yourself? If you're not feeling the love vibes, Mubuza, but do you think you're loving yourself? So, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Show your wife love, okay? We know there is a difference between knowing that we are loved for us women and feeling loved. Knowing that we are loved and feeling loved. There are many men who said, I love you to their wives. Those days, Nayenga, all the same is like, but do you love me? And the man says, by the fact that I'm even staying with you, it's obvious that I love you, don't you? And I have not told you that anything has changed. If anything changed, I will inform you, I will let you know. But by the fact that we stay together, we even have children, that is enough. You should know, that is obvious, that I love you. But we want to feel loved. Hallelujah. We want the feeling. Dennis, we want the feeling. Biteke muchi, feeling. Yes, we want to feel loved, all right? And how do you feel loved? You know your wife well. The Bible says, dwell with her with understanding, okay? What does your wife want? Your wife, not women. Don't just copy and paste. It's women usually love handbags. Then you go and you buy. Women usually love handbags. Then you go and get a handbag. You say, Joanne, give me a plug for someone who sells handbags. Well, of course, Joanne. Well, she will send you the number. Then you get all sour from there. Then you come. Here. And then you're giving someone a handbag and she doesn't even want handbags. Because for her, one is enough. She didn't want any other. Like, but I even bought for you a handbag. You're very unappreciative. Yeah? But she's like, but did I say I want a handbag? Can you know what I want? Let us start from there. Know what your wife wants? Dwell with her with understanding. So if it is a handbag, if it is flowers, if it is being driven, if it is holding her hand, hallelujah. Hold the hand until the blisters come. Hold. Nyweza. Tambula. Hold. Tambula, nyweza. Every day. You hold what? Hold her hand. Yeah? If she wants to be hugged, don't say banatula babatia. But you see, hug your wife. You know, we live in an environment where people have lost hope in good marriages. People think that these things, like when you see people doing them, they are like, eh, like, there's no hope, like, I'm Agaza coach. But this is your wife. So in you demonstrating, just like, you know, Jesus loved mankind, and he demonstrated his love. And you're following after Jesus, so you're going to demonstrate this love that people may see, even the young children may see and have hope, even the singles, that actually good marriages exist. Amen? Even some of us in our homes, you don't hug your wife because you're like, ah, about what children are going to see, or it didn't even cross your mind. If she likes hugs, hug her. Yeah? Hug her in a godly manner. When the children are there, please, amen, and then things happen. So, hug her. When your children are there, hug her. Because, you see, I don't even understand why it's such a big deal to hug your wife. Yet when you come here, from there you start on the door, Sister Joanne, everyone, and then you go home and you cannot even hug your wife. That's just not right. Lydia, is it right? It's not right at all. You come to church and you expect me. Why shouldn't I get jealous? If I see you hugging everyone, choir, no jitamu, backups, no vitamu. Man. There is a young man. This story I have told before and up to now. Every time I think about hugging, I'll never forget that guy. There was a young man in those days when LAT had just started. And this young man was in the choir, very good instrumentalist, very good guy, by the way. Not evil, not wicked at least. I don't know anything about him that would make me feel like he was doing something wicked, you know. But the guy would hug you people. I would literally cringe and pray that he doesn't reach me. He would always start from here, yeah? Then he hugs, hi dear, you know, hi dear, hi dear. He hugs every lady like that. And that time I told him, but you, eh? Then when he would come to me, I would say, praise the Lord, yeah? Because hi dear, praise the Lord is not like this, say, praise the Lord. Then he would say, praise the Lord, Sister Joanne, yeah? So I told the guy one day, no, you can't do the hugging about you, yeah? Like you, the guy would... In the embrace and what you call, well, you can call me traditional, but they would in the kafuba, and then there was just something about him that made me feel very uneasy about the way he was hugging the sisters. But then I would also wonder, why are the sisters over enjoying, you know, that embrace, that hey, yo. Mm-hmm. So. Please, dwell with your wives with understanding. Know what they want. And hug them. If it's a hug, shake hands, whatever. You know your wife. You know her. You're the one who proposed to her. You're the one who chased her and lyriced her. It doesn't change, by the way. Eh? Even after 16 years, I keep telling Sam, Bulira Yoko. And Sam is like, what? What? I'm like, tell me those things that you used to say, those days, just for my listening pleasure, yeah? I'm the Lord's daughter, yeah? For my listening pleasure, nange mpulire yoko. Then, he thinks so hard. He's like, anyway, 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 you know that I love you. Eh? Then he gives me a high five. But love your wives. That is working for us. It may not work for your wife, yeah? So, yeah. And then another thing that men can do as leaders, very key, is communication, all right? Jesus Christ communicates it to us through the word, all right? Use your words well. Use your words. There's a verse that talks about how Jesus washes the church. Which one? Yes, I think Ephesians 5, yeah? How the... Mumida, where what, where what? Musab... Musab mission, yeah? Eh? Uh-huh, 26. Fantastic. That he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. But then Jesus Christ is the word, and he left us the church, yeah? He left the church with his written word, that we may read it, and it's that word that cleanses us. Ask yourself as a man, how do you cleanse your wife? Do you pour on her all that dirty water with your words? All right? Do you, what was you, you know, when men are talking things, like say, cars, football, man, a guy can go at it, yeah? This, Henri, glory to God, Pastor. Henri, about what? About who? About, he's no longer there. Who is there? Mbappe. Who else? Hey, Mbappe. Clean. Like who? Anyway. Who? Saka. And the guy you met? The guy you met, and Okocha, JJ Okocha. Ha, that someone went and told me the history of JJ Okocha on the whole flight. Nalimu Okocha, JJ Okocha. Yeah, the guy said, Okocha did this, Okocha did that. And that's after we had met him, and you're taking a picture. Man, I sat through a sermon on Okocha. Okocha, Okocha, JJ, Okocha, Okocha, Okocha. By the time we landed at the airport, Okocha, 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 JJ, JJ Okocha. Yeah? But then you ask him, sir, what do I look like? So, nyamba day to day? Good. Good. Eh? You look good. You people. You people. Do you know what that is? For you to go no sibaka vidi, what, you know, sometimes even the scalp is hurting. You take some Panadol, what? So how do I look? Good. Okay. But when they're talking about cars and JJ Okocha, how, you know, when he was young, I used to cut his hair like this. He's the one who introduced about the Kaline like this. He's the one about what? Who would use, but you know, he is a pet setter like this. Da, 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 da. But how do I look today? Okay. Can Oja preaching, Oja kubulira. You can preach like that. I'm like, what? What? Haven't you seen anything else, sir? Eh? Then when it changes, wonderful. And you're like, now the vocal changes. Wonderful. From good to wonderful. Guys, yeah, communicate. You know, wives, we like to hear nice things. We have, the way men have an insatiable desire, like, ego, yeah, that ego cannot be. The other day, I think I sent Dennis something about how men greet themselves in our language. It went around, yeah. Men have that, like, that insatiable ego, and this guy was showing how men from the West greet themselves. Men from the West, hey, Banyankole specifically, chief, chief no gambachi, boss no gambachi. General, Bishop, Chigiga, Chigiga, Owishemwe, Ogambachi, Chairman. Yes, and I can tell you, because I have five brothers, I have heard all those greetings. That is how they refer to each other. Why? It builds their ego, you know? It builds their ego and say, Chief, Boss, ha. Chairman, no gambach. Engineer, doctor, no gambach. Those are the, that is, because that, for them, they, it makes you feel like But imagine Pastor entered here and greeted Robin like, "Boss, how are you? Oh, Chief, how are you? Oh, Chairman, how are you?" It just doesn't come off well, yeah? That is why for us women, we greet ourselves like, "Hi, sweetheart. How are you? Hi, honey." You know, if you had that, you'd be like, you don't even pay attention. You're like, "Abobebuza." Yeah? Say, "Hi, honey. Hi, sweetheart. Darling. Sweet. Biche baby toyoge, yeah? Sweet. Hi, babe." Yeah? "Hi, dear." Yeah? "Hi." All those things. Now, you used to call us those things when you are what? When you are chasing us and lyricing us. But after some time, people save their wives in their phones. And I told some, "I want to see like a nice one there, and even in the phone, yeah? Say, wife, mother bear." Yay! "Wife, mother bear." About what? Banagech. Even you guys are laughing, but you check their phones. At best, they'll even use your son name, your maiden name, yeah? Tumhaire. You find your maiden name there, yeah? Tumhaire there in the phone. Muzikubanga ko to see what pops up so that you can say, no, yeah? So, men, wash your wives with good words. "You look nice today, honey. You do what for us?" We want to hear those things, even if they don't make sense. And try and develop that vocabulary, by the way. But there are people who you'll be with, Ngasaja, they don't have any vocabulary. They're not going to help you. You go to the lover boys. That's how even some women go. Go to them. If you have a friend who you know is very gifted in that area, Mukula gave him to be a love, you go and say, "Vane, give me some vocabulary. How can I lyric call today? Eh? Say, mchala, mchala." No. Yeah? "My person," that one, is for me, is the worst. All right? My person. You know how many people are here? "My person." Eh? "Mommy." Ah! "Mommy." Eh? I can understand if he's telling the children, "Go and ask your mom." Yeah? But don't be a mommy. We are together. Eh? Madam. Eh? "Well, I'm a sweetheart. About what?" Eh? Yeah, anyway. So you, men, develop your vocabulary. Learn to wash your wives with good words. They cleanse them. They make them feel good. They improve on their, they build their esteem. They affirm them. Yeah? And women, when they are telling you these things, don't also start. Eh? So even wives here, when you're complimented, don't be there. Just say thank you and wakajewa. Now if he tells you what he wants, then what? Yeah? If he uses it and he wants something, then what? There's no problem with that. So anyway, yeah, so men, get not to communicate. And now there are so many ways, by the way, you can exercise your, all these other things we talked about, being proactive, being a leader, a pastor, a pursuer of God, a protector, and there are many other things that you can do to actually exercise that God, that delegated Christ-like authority in your house. Amen? And lastly, date your wife. Tatuagala nyo date. Hey, hallelujah. Areta Mutugamba, you don't have money. Kampala has restaurants. Of all the bufundeos are men, what? Eh? Date your wife. Court your wife. Yeah? Don't let her be seeing people on social media. Social media can kill you guys. Eh? You say, banange, but no, they have posted a Coke bottle. Please, you can get her the Coke and also let her put it on. She will put on her status. Glory to God. Glory to God, guys. So date your wives. For us, we like to be dated. We like to be serenaded. We like to be taken out and to feel. You know, we may not even show it. After some time, you become hardcore if you haven't dated for quite a while with your husband. But it doesn't mean that we don't like it. One of the things that will revive a woman is a date. Glory to God. Dates. and dates that stick to the mulamu. I don't go on a date and you start banging her. You cook bad food, you do what? Let the date be a date. Yeah? Now you didn't do the other thing. Namasati tewaga golo day. You see, even to come for this date, I have to look for a shirt because of you. No. If you have decided to go for a date, don't spoil it. Make a date a very nice date. Then when you go back home, you can show her the shirt, which wasn't well ironed. Okay? But don't take your wife on a date to start telling her all the wrong things she's doing. Yeah? It is like me cooking food for my husband. And he has come home. You've cooked food for your husband, not me, but okay, women, you've cooked food for your husband. The moment he sits down to eat, you start, You know what? Really? As in, let the man finish his katunda, his food, in peace. So even us, when you're dating us, we've taken us out for a date, engage. Don't just be there. Now you're on the phone. You're saying that. Engage with her. It is a date. Yeah? And I remember, I think, reading it somewhere that if couples were courting more in marriage, then we would have less marriages in court. All right? So even after we are married all these years, these are things, by the way, it's not rocket science, but it takes you being intentional. Date your wives. Court them. And let that date, when that one I'm going to emphasize, don't take me, let me first, it call, but the moment the whatever comes, akatunda, it has just arrived. Now, Joanne, the other issue. Then, by the time you leave, you feel like you've just bitter herbs, this okazo, badolia. You're like, Jandi, I should have just stayed home and slept. But you're there, you're eating pork, bitter herbs. They are giving you. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. By the time you finish, even the food is choking. Man, yeah? You enter the car, you're not talking. That is why for me, it's good to set, because we are all human beings, ground rules for dates. You say, Banange, let us work together to make the date successful. Amen? Amen. It's not a time to bring out the bad list. Let's just go have fun. Okay? Okay. Otherwise, like I've shared before on our marriage fellowship, from the first pothole, the moment you leave home, never kuba mchinya like this, that's it. The date starts going downhill. Mm-hmm. Then the music in the car, too loud. Uh-huh. You know, there are 101 reasons for you to get offense. And this is, by the way, two-way. The man can also get offended at you. You can also get offended at him. Yeah? You reach. But for me, I didn't want this hotel. Or if you've agreed on the hotel, I think we should sit in the corner. Me, I want here. Then you start arguing over where to sit. Muliku date. Yeah? You decided you're on a date. Me, I want to sit here. Over here. But then you disagree on that one. Eventually, you end up sitting in the middle where both of you don't like. You sit. So. Mm-hmm. Then, I'm going to eat this. But didn't you say that you're lactose intolerant? Now, why are you eating ice cream? Now, but you're overeating meat. Why? But how much meat can a man consume? You know, it can be, by the way, serious, because we are human beings and we have weaknesses. I'm telling you, set rules for the date. Why? Because you're not like Robin and Brian, who have just gotten married, who can overlook some things. Sometimes just mannerisms can just put you off. You're going for a date, and one of the things personally that puts me off is what's this? Dragging your feet. Yeah? Cha. Just so you can imagine, for me, I can most likely get offended before I even leave home. Because why? Because I know myself. Because I've had cha. I can most likely. So you have to decide and say, where they go? Where better they move, Joanne? This is the time to listen to your own sermon. Keep quiet. Keep that mouth. Then also him, he has things probably that would also offend him about me. Maybe when I wake up in the morning, the why I am and what, he could also just get offended. So you have to be very intentional on relating with each other. It is such small things. For me, as small as just dragging your feet. That one, I'm like, Even here, when I hear podragi, you can drag the chairs but not the feet. I don't know what's just... Then other people, there are other mannerisms. And I think Pastor talked about them here one time. The way you chew food. Man, glory to God. Eh? No. Usually, on average, Rachel, stretch you. Amen. You can hear. Do you know what it feels to hear? You know? It's just, you know, there are some foods that are naturally silent when they are being eaten, like a banana. So if, but there are people, there are men. They are not here, but me, when I go to restaurants, I can hear them from far. You like ariachi. Is it sandpaper ariachi? When you turn, you find it's a dessert. And you're like, whoa, mannerisms. Yeah, you're someone. By the way, this is very, and these are the things, let me tell you, that plague us. Mannerisms. You just don't want to sit with someone because you can hear them eating. Yeah? You had them coming, dragging their feet. They sat. Then you're hearing them chewing. Then maybe there are different things. Maybe picking the nose. You know such mannerisms? Picking the nose, putting whatever in the ears. You have to really work on these things. Toothpicks. Thank you, toothpicks. Glory to God. Toothpicks. Someone using floss, and you know floss is even bad because sometimes it what? Hey, man. You have to really be very careful. And these are the things, these mannerisms, by the way, when your friend tells you about them, you take offense. You like me? Do I drag my cat in ambulance? Yeah? How do you want me to walk in the house? Cat in the end, yeah? Should I hide? Yeah? But you have to work on your mannerisms because nobody else at work, they will not tell you. Remember, at work, you're the boss. At work, you're Alfred Agaba, please, mister, yeah? Nobody's going to tell you these things. They fear you. But do you know who is waiting for you at home? Your wife. The moment you enter, she will say, boss. Togenda, because it's a toothpick like that here. No, that's not, it's just not acceptable. And you will get offended. But you work on these things. I am on your side by telling you these things so that you don't get embarrassed. And also me, I get embarrassed. I am on your side, all right? So in that way, I'm on your side. But in that moment, of course, you may seem like, you know, Joanne is just nitpicking me and all that. So anyway, let us, men, are we going to change the way we eat? And all those other things that your wives have told you, want to put on or change, yeah? Change them. And also, you wives, when you're told to change some things, you change them. You don't wake up in the morning, you switch on the light, bah, and then you know that your husband likes to work, likes to sleep in some, like, well, what light is that? What's mood light, yeah? That back a calm light. We're not here because you like a lot of light. Sweet, and you switch on and everything. And it's like, but you, eh? So please, let's work on some of these things and then we shall have good marriages. So the point of it all is men desire to lead like Jesus Christ. If your wife is complaining, start from, but is this Christ-like? Always start from there. Is this what I'm telling her to do? Christ-like. Make your own assessment, all right? And Webi Ghana, find help, all right? Find help. We are there to teach. We are there to encourage, to walk beside you. But for crying out loud, do not break the order God gave us. The man is the head. Then the woman should submit. She is the helper. That is the order within which our marriages will flourish. Glory to God. Let us rise to our feet and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you for each and every husband here. Lord, we thank you for our marriages. We thank you for the wives here. We thank you for the offspring you have given us. Father, we thank you that everything in you is perfect, that your ways and your word are perfect. Lord, we thank you that you gave us husbands to be our heads, to model the Christ-like leadership. Lord, we thank you for we, the wives, Father, that you have given us a grace to submit, just as the body submits to Christ. Father, Lord God, we pray that you help us, that, Lord, today will mark a new beginning in many of the marriages here, Father. That, Lord God, you will start to work in our lives, in the different areas, Lord, where we struggle, where we fall short, to do what you have called us to do, to lead the way we are supposed to lead, to submit the way we are supposed to submit. Father, we ask you to help us. We ask you to help us, Father, because we know that the devil is against marriages, that the devil wants our offspring, wants our children. But Father, Lord, we come with understanding that it's only within or when we follow your model of marriage that our children will be protected. That, Father, even we ourselves, we shall be protected. Lord God, we ask you to help us. Lord, where there is hardness of heart, where there is pride, Father, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we pray that you help us where we have treated each other in a way that is unworthy of you. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Help us, King of Glory, to be repentant, Father, to say sorry to our spouses. Because all these things that we do that are not godly to each other, they don't make you happy. Father, Lord God, help us. Help the marriages in LAT that they may be strong, Lord. That the families in LAT will be strong. Even as each one of us, Lord, it enters our destinies, Father, we know that there is a place and a part that marriage plays, that a part that our spouses play. Help us, King of Glory, that, Lord, we shall not fall shy of experiencing any of our promises because of the way we treat our spouses. Father, Lord God, we pray that you will help us. Help us, King of Glory. Help us, Father, that we may be more and more like Jesus. Help us, King of Glory. Help the families in LAT. Lord, where there is pain, and heartache, Lord, may you cause healing to come. May your healing hand visit those marriages. May your restorative hand restore those marriages. Father, help them, King of Glory. Revive them, Father. Those that have lost interest in one another, revive them, King of Glory. Revive them, Father, we pray. Revive them. Cause a fire, your holy fire, to sweep across their marriages, Father. In their emotions, Father. In their intimacy, Father. Lord, help them, King of Glory. Help them, Father. Lord, we know that in marriage there are things that are too deep to even say. But Lord, you hear them as loud as I'm speaking on this microphone. Father, Lord, we pray that you'll help them. Each and every spouse here has a specific need of you concerning their marriage. Lord, Father, we pray that that prayer shall be answered. That need, Father, shall be met. Help us, King of Glory, for the sake of our salvation. That, Lord, we shall not miss heaven because of this. That our children will not be led astray. That, Father, Lord, we shall keep manning the gates for our offspring, O God. Help us, King of Glory, in our marriages. Help us in our families, Father. Help us, Father. Help us to walk in unity, Father. Help us to walk in unity. Just like you, Father, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, may we have that unity in our marriages, unity in purpose, unity in our calling, unity concerning the things of God. Father, help us. Help these marriages. We are human beings, Father, but we know that you have given us a grace to do exactly what you want us to do. Help us, Father. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.